May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 683. Great God, thy kingdom come, with reverence would we pray. May the eternal three in one his sovereign sceptre sway. Hymn 683.
Thank you. Let us read together for our instruction two portions of God's holy word. The first you will find in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and we will read the first 23 verses. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. We now turn to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15, and read in the first 10 verses. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. The Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word and help us to pray. O thou infinite God, holy, just, and yet merciful and gracious, full of compassion, look down, we pray, upon us that gather together a company of poor sinners. And if we are made to know our poverty, and to know that we have no good to be found in us, and only deserve the punishment due to sin, then, O Lord, may our need bring us to cry for that mercy, that we may know mercy and truth that meet together, and meet, Lord, in the soul, to the hope and the quiet confidence of one who has been brought to believe and yet has to say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. For thou knowest, Lord, how we are assailed with much unbelief, and worst, our own unbelieving, deceitful heart, as we have it by nature. But Lord, we know that thou dost give the grace of faith. May we therefore lay hold upon that life, knowing that all else is death, but life in thee. Oh, may we look therefore to the Saviour, to the dear Son of God, the Son of Man, the God-man mediator, who is able to reconcile sinners unto God. We come therefore and venture at the mercy seat, knowing that it is sprinkled with precious sin-atoning blood. And so, Lord, we come, and would plead there that thou would not cast us off as we deserve, but, O Lord, could it please thee to satisfy every longing soul and to fill every hungry soul with thy goodness, and that there may be none empty sent away, but they may receive some crumb of mercy, that they may know what it is to be brought into the banqueting house, that the banner over them may be love. But if, Lord, there are any that have come merely out of form and tradition and not really with any appetite for the things of God, Lord, empty them of all that is of self. May they be humbled before thy footstool. May they be brought to know the vileness of their condition and to feel the pain that it brings deep within and to cry out unto thee. Like one who came and beat upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, they may perhaps fear that there is no hope, even though they cry such a cry. Yet the publican went down to his house justified. And who can be just with God? But thou, Lord, dost make a man just through that imputation of a righteousness which he has not wrought of his own, but of that which has been wrought out for him, and faith to see the one who has fulfilled all righteousness. We do pray for those, Lord, that are in particular need. Some may be in their spiritual need and some in their providential need. Lord, we may thank thee for the many comforts that we have and those things that are granted to us and how we may take them so much for granted until thou dost touch them, Lord. And then to touch us under a sense of our folly in not giving thee the thanks nor rendering to thee the glory due unto thy holy name for every temporal benefit. Lord, may we realize that nothing is too small to deserve thankfulness. And yet, Lord, may we also realize that every blessing that comes from thee comes from the eternal God, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, the one who delights in mercy, the one of whom it is said, who is a God like unto thee? Ah, if the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, then how much less this house, this heart, this poor and needy soul. And yet, Lord, thou hast pledged to dwell in the hearts of thy people. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt grant thy gracious direction unto those that need it, that they may be led in the right way. And being led, may they realize that though there are those things where they need thee to open up the way in all their providences and in this life, for we have to walk through this life, but Lord, may the things of eternity be our greatest concern. Lord, we pray that thou wilt direct us therefore and keep us in thy fear and to teach us wisdom's way. And may we commit our way unto thee, trusting also in thee, believing that those things that thou hast promised and that are recorded in thy word thou wilt bring to pass. We do pray that thou wilt be mindful of those in sickness, or that thy healing hand may be upon such. But there may be some, Lord, that are in such a sickness which is to remain with them for the remainder of their days. Or it may be a sickness unto death. Oh, prepare them, Lord, for that eternity. And we know that it is not always the old, but also the young, and those that are born by their parents in their very tender years, even months, yet we know not, Lord, what thy purpose is, but as it may seem, the days may be few. But Lord, we do pray that there would sanctify these things. Oh, how we need every affliction to be sanctified to the good of our souls, and to know that no chastening for the present, though it may seem grievous, yet it brings forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And that after we have suffered a while, the Lord may establish, strengthen and settle. Oh, what lessons may therefore be learned in the path of trial. But Lord, we do pray that there would be mindful of those the young growing up into life. Lord, they may go forth thinking to do this or that. Lord, may it be that thou dost put thy fear in their hearts at an early age, and that it should be an unctuous light to what is right and a bar to what is wrong. There are many snares, many traps and evils on every hand, and in this solemn day in which we live, when men are seeking to pervert the minds of many, that they may fear to hold those things which are true, honest, and of good report. But Lord, may those growing up find that it is rooted in their own soul, that they cannot, dare not profess other than what they do believe. And Lord, we do pray that they may come to believe that there is no other way, and to confess this, if ever my poor soul be saved, is Christ must be the way. Look upon those in bereavement, Lord, do sustain and uphold them in their loss. Look upon, Lord, any that may be troubled with varying things that are known to thee. Perhaps they cannot express them. It may lay them very low. They may seem to walk in much darkness. But oh, be a light to them. Shine upon the path. And do, Lord, grant them that they may see there is that way to escape, because thou hast ordained it. But oh, so often in due time, that time which is appointed of thee, we bear before thee, Lord, our little causes here and there. Indeed, Zion is in a low state. We mourn that there are few that love her ways. I've seen over the years a falling away. We pray for those that have gone astray, oh, that they may be bringing back, that thy gracious spirit may bring again to their minds the things that they heard in their youth, and oh, that they may then desire to return. Lord, there have been those that have returned and have had to return before they reach their deathbed, perhaps hardly realizing how near it is. Yet, Lord, do grant that returning. For is there not joy over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just persons? Lord, we do pray that there will be mindful of us denominationally, that we may be yet granted a sweet reviving in the midst, a reviving of that in the hearts of those that gather, that they may know and feel, experience, and find that there is an exercise for the things of God. Seek him first the kingdom of heaven and Christ's righteousness, proving that all needful things shall be added unto them, and not to seek the things of time and then merely to come and to go like the door upon its hinges. We do, Lord, also pray that there would have mercy upon us as a land and nation. Oh, what departing there has been. Oh, the evils that abound. The things, Lord, that are now condoned, which once would have been condemned. Introducing such the things which are contrary to nature, let alone the word of God. Lord, we see these abominations. And Lord, we know what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah and what happened with the Benjamites when they sought to seek after that which was alien to thee. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou would yet have mercy, if it could please thee, upon our land and nation, but we not only see the evils that abound in our nation, but all the nations of the earth. Yet there are those, Lord, we believe, that even under persecution are brought to desire the gospel. Oh, then, Lord, may it be thy good pleasure to yet revive in the midst of these years a people, a remnant that shall serve thee and call thee blessed. And nonetheless, Lord, we are conscious of a scripture that says there shall be a falling away first, and if there be that falling away, may we, Lord, consider the signs of these times and look up, believing that our redemption draweth nigh, and the great day when there shall come, the last trump shall be blown, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which remain caught up together with thee in the air, to be ever with the Lord. Oh, may we then anticipate and long for that day, as we find it so with the Church of God, in the closing words of the whole canon of Scripture, even so come, Lord Jesus. But whilst we continue, Lord, while time continues, do maintain thy little flock, and now do pardon us of our every sin, and make up in giving where we failed in asking. As we ask these things in and through the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, amen.
Hymn number 872. Gold in the furnace tried, ne'er loses aught but dross. So is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. Hymn 872.
the Lord may be pleased to help me and direct your attention to words you will find in the book of the Proverbs, chapter 3, and read in the 3rd and the 4th verses. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. The book of the Proverbs, chapter 3, and verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. These are the words of a father to his son, as we find in the opening chapters of this book. Much is addressed to the son, my son. As a father may indeed consider his own children, how good and how needful it is to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they may regard the word of God, that they may regard the days of their life, knowing that there is instruction in counting those days, realizing that the time will come when they shall be no more. Is it not good that we should seek that our children may be brought to trust in our God, if indeed as fathers or mothers have known the Lord and his gracious goodness? So it is often fathers, mothers, parents given to much prayer over their children, sons and daughters. And there will be those times in their lives, as there has been perhaps in your life, when the Lord has had to apply his chastening hand, that we may be kept in his fear and led into the truth. For we do not learn the truth as schoolboys learn their task. Such knowledge is not proof against illusion's blast. But we see here the instruction of the Father. Although we may consider that God the Father is the Father of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, yet we also know that Jesus Christ himself is as a father to his people. And of Solomon, when he wrote these, he doubtless did speak to his own sons in that particular manner. Yet sometimes his example was not a good one, led about by silly women. And though he strove to perhaps so instruct, yet we know that when he had gone, and Rehoboam, his son, was set upon the throne, instead of heeding the counsel of the old men who had counseled Solomon, he took the counsel of the young that were brought up with him. And so he knew the rending of the kingdom, that part of the kingdom, a large part of the kingdom, from him. And dear young friends here, remember that if we do not heed the counsel of those that know better, and the counsel of a gracious Father, as seen not in Solomon himself, but in the greater than Solomon, the one who came to teach all righteousness. Oh, therefore, to be a follower of him whom the Father, the first person of the Godhead, did send, even his only begotten Son, that he might be a father to his children. And so therefore we may consider this instruction as also coming from the lips of one who would receive us, take us, as it were, under his wing, and therefore instruct us. But we also find that our Lord and Saviour, in varying, what shall we call them, offices, not only as being a father to his children, but he was also to be a brother to those whom he called his brethren, that he may be made like unto them, and also walk along with them, as it is good for brethren to so do. But then we consider this, that he's looked upon as a husband to a wife. And so we see that it is the church receiving instruction, the church that receives from their husband, or the bridegroom, as the bride may receive instruction from him. Oh, what a mercy if we've been brought to receive that tender fear of God and to hear the voice of our bridegroom, of our husband. Well, having made those initial remarks, we come to our text. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. It is a great blessing if mercy and truth are the experience of our souls. A great mercy if mercy and truth are the things that order our lives, that mercy and truth are the things that enable us to live. Not perhaps naturally, though, without mercy and truth, we cannot spend a moment here, because we would soon be consumed by his wrath. But the Lord has lengthened out days so that those that are his may know much of mercy. And when, as you have sung, you desire the kingdom of God to come, that it might be known in your hearts, that God himself may set up within your own soul the life which his subjects have and are one of the kingdom of God. One of the flock, the sheep, that may be gathered together, to whom the dear Saviour says, "Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Well, it is a kingdom of mercy and truth. And that is why we have this word of exhortation. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. How easy it is when the flesh rises up, a worldly spirit gets the better of us. We see what is the pleasures of this life, and so go after them. Even godless pleasures, if we're not kept. Oh, how important then is the exhortation that we have set before us here. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. What will take its place? Lies, cruelty, enmity, hatred, false accusations, pride. Again, you've sung about pride. These things, they would soon dominate. And you may have to say, much to your grief, I hope it is, that at times they have dominated. But how you desire those things to be removed. Under a gracious exercise and concern of your never-dying soul. For be assured of this, we cannot enter heaven with one of those things which are contrary to the true spirit of godliness. But therefore we may say, allow not mercy and truth to forsake. Has he shown you his mercy? Have you known what it is for mercy to be poured out? What is mercy? The divine favour of God. The love of God as seen in Christ Jesus to be poured out upon sinners. Undeserving. What mercy. We see in the condescension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ponder it. Do you ponder it? Do you consider what it cost him in coming down? As it were, vacating his throne to come, and yet there is a sense he never left it. He comes as the King. He is the one who must rule. And he will rule in the hearts of his dear people. He will humble them. And often that humbling work is something which our flesh will detest. Can there be too strong a word used for the hatred of the flesh, which hates the things of God? What a difference then when the Lord brings us to love and to love his mercy. Because he has shown us mercy. But now let not mercy forsake thee. Yes, we are the recipients of his mercy. And now we may have that grace of mercy to be imparted to us. That we may also show mercy one to another. And when we consider this, do we have the spirit of compassion as our Lord and Saviour had compassion upon his own dear ones? He had compassion upon the multitude because they were faint. He had compassion upon a poor sinner who was there in their great distress, whether a leper, or whether one with a running issue, or whether one that was blind and could not see, whether one who was there stricken upon their bed and could not raise themselves from it. Yet we find a compassionate Saviour. If therefore we have obtained his compassion, oh, to show the same to others. Let not mercy therefore forsake thee, but may it be that we find it, or we are found in that way, wherein we seek the good of one another. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. He who is the truth, does he fill our hearts? Are there those things that we desire to be led into? And will we also seek to lead others into that truth that we have received? Oh, that we may therefore find that this, the mercy and truth, are like unto being bound about our neck. Now, when something is put about the neck, it is there which is close to the heart, but it's held by that which holds the head. And there may be much to think along in those lines. But I want to speak of mercy and truth bound about or round the neck. But as we find it in the previous, or one of the previous chapters, where it says, for they, that is the instruction, the wisdom of a father and a mother. Let me just read it. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Chains about thy neck. Well, the Church of God, the glorious body, as may be considered, bearing the glorious head, must have truth and mercy, mercy and truth, bound about her neck, and so with every member of the mystical body of Christ. We read to you from the Gospel of Luke, and you may have wondered what the connection was. But we read of the woman who had 10 pieces of silver. Now understand that it was the custom that these pieces of silver would be received, will be received by her husband at the time when she was espoused and or married to her husband. And these coins, these pieces of silver, will be hung around the neck. If therefore there was one that was lost, was it through a lack of faithfulness or diligence that it was lost? Was it because the wife had become careless? If therefore in a moment she may have lost such, Should she not then seek diligently to find that coin before her husband may return and show his disappointment, his distress, to fear that there was something now that was lacking in the affection of his love? Well, we can see then the great importance of this being bound about the neck, those things that the Lord himself does give, seen in these two particular words of mercy and truth, as though they bind up the whole of those things that are to be kept. We find in the Psalms those beautiful words, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other, truth shall spring out of the earth and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Perhaps a slightly different aspect, referring to the land, but the same things are to be seen as being held, held by those that receive them. So let not mercy and truth forsake thee, and bind them about thy neck. Our dear Lord and Saviour, when he came to find out that which was lost. Now, had there been faithlessness with him? No, but there had been with us. Ah, but he would come and find us out and bring a poor sinner to repentance and godly sorrow, so that we may seek after this mercy and truth and love the things of God as we may receive them of him. And Mary Magdalene, how she loved her Lord. Whether that Mary Magdalene was indeed the one who came and broke the alabaster box of ointment, we would not surmise. It may have been another Mary. We know it was the Mary, sister of Martha. But here she came. Oh, why? Because she'd been forgiven much. She received the mercy of God. Therefore she came as one of the Lord's redeemed. And would she then desire to lose anything that he had imparted to her? She, a lost sinner, now found. And whether it's depicted in the shepherd and the sheep or the woman and the coin, the shepherd may indeed depict more clearly Christ. The woman, the church that has and should have a travail and a burden for the children. And if there is a departing, oh, to seek after. You know, we live in a day of so much self-centeredness, even amongst the people of God, and I speak of myself. We live in a day of complacency. Therefore, the burden and concern often for one another is somewhat lacking. but may this word be a word which enters into our own heart and stirs us up. Bind them about thy neck. Well, shall we then, to return to what we have here, shall we then cast away what has been so dearly bought? Shall we despise the truth? Shall we disregard mercy? Shall we think that these things are not important? And all the virtues that may be considered that come from him. We know that we often have a spirit of impatience. But oh, do we desire to hold to that spirit of patience as revealed in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? What patience was seen in him. Do we desire that we may ever listen and heed his words and hold them close to our heart? The precious doctrines. A doctrine, remember, is Christ, when rightly considered. I know that it's sometimes spoken of as dry, that there is dry doctrine. Yes, what may be. But the mere letter of truth is dry. A living soul needs something living, not a dead letter. But that living word written upon the fleshy table of the heart, of which we may, as it were, seek to write again and again, like a child, learning to write. The teacher or the parent may write out the forms of the letters for the child then to go over, so that it may learn the formation of those letters. And learn how to put them together and learn what they may then say, and then to learn that what is said may be experienced perhaps in their lives. And that is how the Lord would have us to know the precious truth. That which is written upon the fleshy table of the heart. Once it was written upon stone, and the Israelites then, they were left to break that which had been written, to disregard it, to go on in their idolatry and wickedness. And our old heart is still the same, you know. But to find that the Holy Spirit has, as it were, written that upon the fleshy tables of our heart, that we may be a living epistle, known and read of all men. But be sure of this, dear friends, that if we are to be living epistles, we've got to walk in it. We've got to walk in it. And who can walk in these things? Who's sufficient for these things? Well, only the one who is brought to trust and to seek unto him, to desire that life that comes through him. And we shall find that the very word of truth is life to our souls. Well, we were going to speak about the doctrine. The doctrines that set forth the precious truths of Christ. What a precious truth is sovereign election, chosen of God. Our time began, And what indeed is the secret of our choosing him? Because he first chose us. What is the secret of us ever loving him? Because he first loved us. Therefore, let that be as a sacred token to your soul. And then to know that blessing of redemption. As it is sometimes called, particular redemption. How humbling that the Lord should condescend to search out such a wayward one, a sheep that had gone astray, but still to his dying day, David would say, I've gone astray like a lost sheep, seek thy servant. And is that often your cry in this waste howling wilderness? But you see, the Lord found Jacob in a waste howling wilderness. He finds his people there. It is that work of invincible grace. Distinguishing grace. Why me? Why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretch as me? Who must forever lie in hell, but not salvation free? Bind these things around thy neck, dear friend, and also may you seek to form the letters of that truth. As you consider them and meditate upon them and think upon them and prove that the reality has been written upon your own soul. And if they are so written, if there is that which you can testify of the Lord's dealings, then shall we lightly go on? Without a profession? Shall we go on as though we are no different to any other? Shall we go on as though the Lord has not done anything for us? These are things that we have received through his sovereign grace. Let not thy mercies lie, forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. Bind them about thy neck. And to know this also, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That is our consolation. Many days when we may feel empty, barren, even dead in ourselves, sometimes we may feel at our wit's end, brought to our end. We cannot continue. We shall only fail, be found as a castaway in the end. And Satan will come with all his suggestive manner and say, well, that will be so. That must be so. See what a sinner you are. Perhaps you stand even condemned this night and say, well, I'm one that has been negligent. There's that which I've not held dear. There's that which I've not kept. There's that which I've almost cast away. Well, under the Holy Spirit's teaching, it will create such an exercise of soul that you would desire that these things may be again renewed, restored, found, that you might rejoice. And will there not be rejoicing in heaven when a gracious repentance is given, when faith is brought into exercise, when hope may lay hold again of that which you have a hope of. If ever my poor soul be saved, as Christ must be the way, and to know the joy not found in nature's barren soil, but it's found in that which the Lord has done. He's prepared the heart, he's sown the seed, as the bringing forth to the rejoicing of the sower, to the rejoicing of the reaper, to the rejoicing of the receiver, to the rejoicing of the giver, to the rejoicing of this poor sinner, unworthy, and the rejoicing of the Saviour who came to save unworthy sinners. Well, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart, that thou mayest be seen as a living epistle, known and read of all men, that you may be seen as one who it will be testified of as a man, a woman of God. You know, it is a humbling thing when men may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Those good works you can't boast of, because they are the works of grace being worked out in your soul and life. That is what makes the difference. When grace shines, it shines through Christ into your soul. It shines out of your soul that men may see that you have been with Jesus and learned of him. Well, we may feel often to come very far short in so many things, in so many ways. But if the Lord has favoured you in any way, then may you not find that favour and a good understanding of God and man, in the sight rather of God and man. The favour that we receive, if we consider some of those that knew the favour of God. Jacob knew that favour of God. It did not mean to say he did not have his troubles. It did not mean to say that he was not sometimes left to himself. But he saw the favour of God. And often when he seemed to be at his lowest ebb, when he seemed to be the most destitute, but this is the consolation of those who keep, as it were, mercy and truth bound unto them, going on, though they may walk in darkness and have no light, as the prophet speaks of in that chapter of Isaiah. And what is the exhortation to be considered? Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant? You see, those that bind mercy and truth about their neck, and all the accompanying, as it were, virtues, Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Well, one that knows something of the love of God, who knows the love of a husband, remember what I said concerning the husband and the wife and how she receiving of him those tokens of his love and all the aspects that it may be set forth. And she feels she's lost one. So she sits in darkness and she will seek to find that whereby she shall discover what she feels to have lost. One of the things that is often felt to be lost with the people of God is the sweet comfort. The sweet comfort. Because of declension in their own soul. It is the first sign of declension when we leave our first love. How often we feel our lack of love. But let not mercy and truth forsake thee. We may again be brought to lean only upon him until he shows forth that token of his love. I believe that Solomon, when he wrote that song, there were those occasions when he had to mourn over the fact that he was not what he would be. And he opens the song with, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." He desired it. He longed for it. Did he not feel the lack of it? Because now he lived desiring it. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for they are most sweet. When David cried there in the cave of Adullam, he said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his distresses." So the Lord showed forth his tokens of his everlasting love. He had not left his David. He had not cast him off. No. His favour was still towards him. And so thou shalt find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. But what understanding we may need with regard to the Lord's ways with his people. It's only the Lord's people that really can understand God's dealings. When he may bring some adversity, when he brings some trouble, when there's pain, the worldling would say, if he was a loving God, he would not do that. Do you know why he does it? So that you may then know that no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous nevertheless. There's a nevertheless in your experience. He bringeth forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Job may have gone through all that he went through, but what did he say? When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When the Lord, therefore, has finished dealing with us in that manner, then he raises us up. And we find that favour. We know his blessing. And we are given that understanding. though his ways may sometimes seem very strange, it is his strange work. But a child of God is brought to say this, if he can say no more, as for God, his way is perfect. And under the sense of that chastisement, it will need much grace to say, as for God. But the chastened soul will be also a happy soul. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. You have sung gold in the furnace tried. Ah, yes, it is. It's tried in the furnace. So is the poor needy sinner tried in the furnace. But what does it yield? Well, it brings forth the very best. Then is the soul purified and bettered by the cross. And let us ever remember that in all the trials that we may pass through, we have set before us a cross. One who bore that cross. One who suffered on that cross. One who also exhorted and said, except a man take up his cross and follow me. And are you made willing to follow a crucified Christ? Well, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Parish will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1009. Lord, I approach thy throne of grace, where mercy does abound, desiring mercy for my sin, to heal my soul's deep wound. Hymn 1009.
grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us evermore. Amen.